This whole idea of freedom gives you a sense of peace, a sense of bliss, an absence of turmoil, if you will. It's really all about love. And when you experience this kind of love, the kind of love that is not self-absorbed love, when you're in that place, fabulous things begin to happen. An example of this for me several years ago is I was on Maui and I was to give a speech in Chicago. I was sort of grumbling about I had to get on this plane and why did I have to fly so long? I'm on vacation and I've got to go all the way there. And when I do get there, my publisher wants me to do all of these different interviews. So they've got me scheduled from morning until night. And then I've got to give this talk. And then I've got to turn around the next day and get out of plane and fly all the way back 10 hours. And I was going through all of this self-absorbed kinds of feeling sorry for myself, being a little bit angry, getting tense and tight and all of these kinds of things. And I got on the plane and I did it because I had committed to doing it. And I was on the red eye, so I flew all night long, got there early in the morning. And my publicist called me from New York and said, here's your schedule. You speak in the afternoon, but at 9 o'clock you've got to do this show. And at 10 o'clock you've got this one. At 11 o'clock you've got an interview. And at 12 you've got these newspaper people coming. And there was just a whole list of these kinds of things that I had to do all day long. And I'd been flying all night and was filled with all of the reasons why I shouldn't have to do these kinds of things. Then I got an emergency phone call from my publicist down in Fort Lauderdale. And she said, we just got a phone call from a woman who just found out that you're going to be in Chicago this afternoon. And her husband, his name is Fred, she says, he's just had a liver transplant. And he's really not expected to live. And his last wish is that he could possibly have an audience with you just to talk to you for now, because a book that you wrote called You'll See It When You Believe It was so instrumental in him even taking the risk to have this operation. And he feels that you're one of the most important influences in his life. And I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I said, but I don't have a free moment. She said, well, the only time that's available to see him is between 11 and 12 o'clock. That's when the transplant unit is open at the University of Chicago Hospital. I said, well, I've got a live interview scheduled at that time, but I would love to do that, but I'm sorry, I just can't. So we hung up the phone, and I was going to call this man's wife and tell her that I was sorry. And then the other phone rang, and it was my publicist in New York, and they said, your 11 o'clock interview has been canceled. So you have a hole in your schedule from 11 to 12. And I thought, boy, that seems ironic, doesn't it? And so we got on the phone, and we made all the necessary arrangements, and I went over to the hospital, and I walked into the room, and he looked at me, and he said, I knew you'd be here. I just absolutely knew you would. And his legs looked like tree trunks, and they were sort of green, and they just were so large, even down at the ankles was as large as a typical man's thighs. He was swollen so badly, and he had a bar that was suspended over his head. And he said, watch this. He said, you're here. He said, I know I can do this. And he reached up, and he pulled himself up on this bar, on this chin-up bar, and pulled himself the whole way up, oh, maybe 4 or 5 feet above the bed, and then put himself down. He said, you see, I'm going to make it. I'm really going to make it. And his wife kind of looked at me and said, well, he thinks he is, but, you know, that's not much chance because the transplant isn't taking. And I had a wonderful visit with this man. His name is Fred, and we talked for about an hour or so, and I hugged him and told him that I sent him all of my prayers and love and so on. And I left, and I thought, gee, it was really a nice hour. I really felt good. And to remind me that I have to go where I'm sent. You go where you're sent, all right? And when you're free, you are unconcerned about what's in it for you or how it affects you. So it reminded me to stop thinking about my own pettiness of being a little bit fatigued or having to fly to Chicago or do these interviews, and to just be out there doing what I know I'm here for. It's what my mission is, which is to help and to serve and to promote these kinds of ideas. So I didn't think too much more about Fred. I wrote him a letter about a week later, and I didn't hear from him. And then about 2 years later, I was speaking in Chicago for one of the churches there. And we had a large audience, a couple of thousand people there. It was on a Friday evening. And this man came up to me at the intermission, and he said, Wayne, it's Fred. And I looked at this man, and it didn't look at all like the man that I had seen in the transplant unit. He said, it's me. And he looked like the healthiest, most robust person that I had seen in a long, long time. And he said, the liver transplant, remember when you came to see me a couple of years ago? He said, it's me. And I almost fell off the stage. And I had him come up on stage, and I had him talk. Here's just a few of the things that he said.
I thank my donor. I wouldn't be here without him, but I wouldn't have gotten to my donor without this gentleman. It's Friday. The reactions are real. The characters are illusions. Thank you for being my illusion.